experienced some of the worst flooding in decades. In the past week, more than 800 properties have been affected. As we stand right now, there are still currently 16 severe flood warnings, meaning there is danger to life, 133 flood warnings, which means that more flooding is expected and that immediate action is required, and a further 225 flood alerts. There is absolutely no sign of this threat abating. And with further rain and strong winds forecast throughout the week, things may well get worse before they get better. I've just come back from visiting some of the worst affected areas in the southwest and in the Thames Valley. I've seen our hard-working emergency services and environment agency staff working around the clock to help families and communities. Some of these staff have been on an emergency footing since the East Coast tidal surge in early December, the effects of which I saw for myself when I visited Norfolk before Christmas. And on behalf of the whole country, I want to thank all our emergency services, all the environment agency staff, all the local authority workers, and the many volunteers for what they're doing in these most difficult and relentless circumstances. We have taken action across the board. When pumps were needed on the Somerset levels, we sent pumps from the Strategic Reserve. When it was clear that additional manpower was needed, we deployed the military, assisting efforts at places like Stanmore Bank in Somerset and shoring up flood defences in Dorset. When it was clear that local resources would be stretched, we changed the rules so that local authorities could claim back 100% of the flood costs from central government. But more needs to be done. And my message to the country today is this. Money is no object in this relief effort. Whatever money is needed for it will be spent. We will take whatever steps are necessary. So let me explain what that means in the days and weeks ahead. First, I will continue to lead the national response by chairing meetings of the government's emergency committee, COBRA. I'm cancelling my visit to the Middle East next week. I'm sending my apologies today to Prime Minister Netanyahu and President Abbas. But nothing is more important than dealing with these floods. Second, I've seen for myself that the gold and silver command system that we have is working well, where one individual takes charge to make sure that the police, fire brigade, and other agencies like local authorities work together as one unit. But it is clear that the military can play a further role. By the end of the day, we will have deployed 1,600 servicemen and women, and there are thousands more now available. I've asked Major General Patrick Saunders to coordinate the military effort. They will be working with our gold and silver commands to provide assistance and assurance to members of the public, including by reinforcing sandbags and flood defences, getting medical assistance to the sick and infirm, and checking on and helping any other vulnerable people. I urge everyone in those affected areas to keep listening to the warnings and to work with the emergency services, the military, and everyone who is working to keep people safe. Third, let me turn to fixing some of the specifics. In the southwest, people are understandably very concerned about their transport connections. Network Rail is working 18 hours a day to fix the train line at Dawlish. We announced early this week support, including financial support, for more flights from Newquay to Gatwick. And we're discussing with the train operators how to make sure that we get a replacement bus service as good as possible over the days ahead. On the Somerset levels, there have been more than 65 million cubic metres of flood water. There is now around 3 million tonnes of water being pumped out every day. That's the equivalent of three Wembley stadiums. And this capacity will be increased further by the new pumping strategy that I was hearing about today in Somerset that's now being put in place. But again, like the train line at Dawlish, this is going to take time to fix. It'll take time to get those levels down. Clearly, the most serious developing situation is in the Thames Valley. Military deployment began with a building of a 60-metre wall at Datchet, and today we've deployed a 100-strong company of the 1st Battalion Royal Regiment of Fusiliers on the ground in Raisbury in a community support role. We'll be discussing at COBRA tonight what further steps we can take to help those affected communities. Fourth, as the floodwaters recede, we will need to help people and businesses recover from this very difficult time. I'm setting up a new cabinet committee to oversee the recovery, and I'll be chairing the first meeting on Thursday. We'll be focusing on getting the insurance companies out there so people can make their claims quickly. And the Association of British Insurers, the ABI, together with the CBI and other business organisations, are meeting here in Downing Street as I speak to help us develop further measures to support businesses in affected areas. And in the days ahead, as homeowners, businesses, farmers think about how to piece their lives back together again, we'll be announcing a number of new schemes to help. For homeowners, support in the form of grants to build in better flood protection as they repair their properties. For businesses, a tax deferral scheme for businesses affected by the floods to give them longer to pay their taxes. And again, grants to help them improve their flood defences. And for farmers, we will be establishing new funding that will release up to £10 million to help them recover from the devastation to their livelihoods. We'll be setting out more detail about all these schemes in the days to come. As I've said before, there are lessons to be learned from this experience, and those lessons will be learned. But right now, my focus is on the operational response, helping those people who need help and protecting those properties which need protecting. It will be a long haul, and it will require a stepped-up national effort with the whole country pulling together. One of the most inspiring things I've seen over the past few days has been the incredible spirit of volunteers in our communities. People I met, like Sheila Main, who worked at the rescue centre in Dawlish, serving tea to displaced families night and day during the evacuation. Storm Wallace, who organised community clear-ups of Chesil Beach through Facebook. And Jackie Breakspear and Amanda Broughton South, the joint landladies of the Cove House Inn in Chiswell, who helped pull their community through an extraordinary storm as waves lashed against their pub. Amidst all of this, as is so often the case, in the toughest of times, we are seeing the best of Britain. It will take time, but together we will deal with these floods, we'll get our country back on its feet, and we will build a more resilient country for the future. Thank you. Very happy to take some questions. Start with Sky News.
Prime Minister, you didn't mention the Environment Agency in your opening presentation. Is that because you share the criticisms of certainly Eric Pickles towards it? And what do you say to your ministers who appear to have spent a lot of time fighting each other and fighting the Environment Agency before this fresh round of attention to people who in some cases have been hit by floods for 2 months?
Well, first of all, I did mention the Environment Agency. I mentioned them twice, actually, at the beginning of my statement, because the staff of the Environment Agency, some of whom I've met over the past few days, have done an amazing job at helping to pump water out of flooded homes, erect flood defences, put up demountable defences in communities where they have them. They've done an extraordinarily good job, and as we speak today, they're working round the clock helping communities that have been affected. In terms, I think I've said all I want to say about the other issue that you raise. Everyone needs to focus on the jobs that they do and the job in hand we have to bring the whole of the government and all of its resources together to help flooded communities. Look, of course, there'll be a time to discuss how the pendulum against dredging swung too far in the past and how we put that right in the future. But right now, everybody needs, every minister, every head of an agency, everyone involved, to work together to deliver the best possible response we can to these floods, and that's exactly what's happening. Tom Bradbury.
Prime Minister, isn't this the moment to acknowledge plainly and simply that you didn't spend enough money on flood defences? And if you're not prepared to acknowledge that, shouldn't you admit openly to people that when it rains this hard, there's actually nothing you can do to stop flooding like this?
Well, first of all, what I'd say is obviously we have increased the money that's going into flood defences. If you take the four-year period, 2010 to 2014, we'll be spending £2.4 billion on flood defences. That's an increase on the previous four-year period. So the money is going up, and we've added to that last week with £130 million extra. And we've also set out the programme for spending in terms of the capital spending all the way out to 2020. But the truth is this, that when you have these extraordinary weather events, the wettest winter for 250 years, it is very difficult to have all the protections in place that you need. What we need to do now is go on spending that money. Once this water has subsided, we need to then sit down again with the Environment Agency and affected local authorities and look at all the transport links and everything and say, right, now we've seen the latest lot of floods, what more can we do? What should we do differently? Are there different bits of infrastructure that need extra protection? You know, I was talking today to First Great Western and Network Rail about the problems between Didcot and Oxford with the train line and whether more could be done there. So there's always going to be lessons to learn, always opportunities to invest more in flood protection, and we'll be very alive to those debates as we look ahead. Nick Robinson.
Prime Minister, thank you. Nick Robinson, BBC News. You said, and I quote, money is no object, we'll spend what's necessary. Can we be clear? Are you promising to spend what's necessary on flood defences, not just relief? Because the Climate Change Committee suggests that you are £500 million a year short of what is needed to deal with the problem. And I know you're not fond of the subject, but if you forgive me, I'm going to return to it. Eric Pickles apologised to the people of Somerset. Do you think you or he owe an apology to the Environment Agency?
First of all, on spending what is necessary, look, on this relief effort, on dealing with these floods, you know, as I've said, money is no object. We are a wealthy country. We have a growing economy. We've taken good care of our public finances. There's still a lot of work to be done on that front, but people shouldn't be any doubt. As we try and recover from these floods, money will not be an object. We'll spend what is necessary for the future. We're going to lay out our plans. We're going to look at the lessons that we've learned, see where additional flood protection can help. And we've already started that with the extra £130 million that we announced last week. And as I said, lessons will be learned about where the extra money can make the biggest difference. I think there'll be a particular focus on transport infrastructure, because I think that's going to be absolutely key to, as I said, building a more resilient country in the future. I think Eric Pickles was right in saying what he said about being so sorry about what had happened, and I think that was absolutely the case. In terms of the Environment Agency, I've said the staff of the Environment Agency, the people out there on the ground, are doing a brilliant job. I've seen them hard at work. They're getting huge amounts of praise from their communities, and Eric rightly praised them in the House yesterday. And I think that's what we need to focus on. Focus on the future, getting these things fixed, everyone working together. As I've said, now is not the time for resignations and all the rest of it. Now is the time for people to knuckle down, get on with the job. It has been a strong response. These gold and silver command systems that get set up, they're working well. I've seen it for myself. And the government has responded to their requests, as I said, with money, with water pumps, with the deployment of the military, further announcements about which I have made today. And if it's necessary to do more, then of course we will do more. James.
James Kirkup, The Daily Telegraph. Just 2 points. One, first of all, on your commitment to spend whatever it takes. If I understood you rightly in your opening remarks, you said that from the point of view of householders, you're prepared to provide public money to help with the costs of future flood defences for their house. If, as you say, there's effectively unlimited cash here, will you therefore also consider giving public money to those people to meet the costs of repairs where that repair work is not covered by their insurance? And secondly, in answer to Tom Bradby, you acknowledge that when the weather's this bad, sometimes there's nothing you can do. Does that mean, if this is now the reality of the British climate, that you're going to have to reevaluate planning rules that allow building on floodplains, that there is a national question we have to answer about whether or not housing is in the right or wrong place?
I've got four questions in there. Let me try and answer all of them. First of all, you know, what we need to fix is the problem of households who've been hit by floods. These are, you know, I've seen it in my own constituency. I've seen it over the last couple of days. It's ghastly when your house is flooded with water. You've got to take all the plaster out. The furniture's wrecked. You know, it takes a long time to recover. It's a really painful and depressing process. So what we need in place is a sort of full system. We need to make sure that the insurance loss adjusters get into those houses quickly, carry out the assessment, and pay up the money fast. Now, in most cases, that is happening. If it isn't happening, I want local MPs to be told about it, they can tell me about it, and we'll go after those insurance companies and make sure they pay up. That's the first point. Then, of course, you've got houses that don't have insurance. You've got the cases like that. That is where every local authority affected needs to have a hardship fund, and if there's a need to top up those hardship funds, then they can come to us and we can have a look at that. But generally speaking, hardship funds have worked well for uninsured houses. Then we've got to think about the future, because as these households rebuild, clearly they get money from the insurance or from the hardship fund to rebuild. but we want to help them build in greater resilience. So as they're rebuilding, you know, to consider further work on flood defences, gates across doors and the rest of it. And so this will be a bespoke grant system of several thousand pounds per household affected if they want to claim that money to help them in the affected areas to enhance their flood defences. On the issue of building on floodplains, of course we keep this under permanent review. The fact is, I think if you look at the figures, I think in 99% of the cases, the official advice, which includes, of course, advice from the Environment Agency who are consulted about these things, is followed in 99% of cases. So I think that is important to bear in mind. I think I've answered your four questions. The Guardian.
Patrick Winter from The Guardian. You've praised the Environment Agency staff two or three times. You haven't praised the leadership of the Environment Agency. Is that deliberate? And secondly, you didn't mention climate change as a cause of this problem. I mean, it's not an abstract question because it affects what you do in the future. I mean, is climate change responsible for what's happening? And finally, do you believe your Environment Secretary believes in climate change?
First of all, on the issue of the Environment Agency staff, look, those are the ones on the front line. I want to single them out for praise. But I've said this is not a time for people to leave their posts. This is a time for people to knuckle down and get on with the very important work of running their organisations and departments that they have to do. But the staff, you know, I want to really reinforce that because the staff are doing an amazing job out there. Some have been working round the clock. Well, I've answered that as well by saying that this is not a time for people to leave their posts. It's a time to back those in those posts and to get on with their jobs, and that's exactly what I'm doing. On the issue of climate change, when I answered that question in the House of Commons, and that my view hasn't changed, I think the point I'd make is, you know, whatever your view about this issue, clearly we have and are having right now some pretty extreme weather. And so whatever your view about climate change, it makes sense to mitigate and to act to deal with that weather. And that is the view of the whole government. Emily.
There's been a frenzy of political visitations to the floodplains in the last couple of days. Do you accept that you recognise the seriousness of this problem too late?
Well, first of all, on the visits, I think it is important to visit. I always try and make sure that my visits are for a purpose, where I want to learn about a specific issue. So I went to Dawlish because I wanted to see, you know, what can we do to try and shorten the time period that this vital national rail artery is going to be out of action. I wanted to go to Newquay to make sure that we really are supporting this new air service. Going to Taunton today to see how this new pumping operation is going to work and how long that's going to take to get the Somerset levels down. Those are all important visits, which frankly actually helped me to chair COBRA effectively, because you've got a greater knowledge of what's happening on the ground and the right questions to ask and the right buttons to push. So I think visits are important, but I always try not to get under the feet of the emergency services when they're in, particularly in the sort of rescue phase. I mean, if I look at my own programme of visits, I was in Norfolk before Christmas, I was in Kent in Yalding, Yalding shortly after Christmas, and Somerset on Friday, and the visits today. So I try and get the balance right, but one can always go over these things and get it even more right if you want to. But I think these visits do matter. I think they should always try to be coordinated with the emergency services so that we're not in any way getting in the way of their work. No, I don't think so, because COBRA was stood up straight after Christmas with those first floods. I think what's become more and more apparent is the persistence of this bad weather and the frustration of the people on the Somerset levels, which I completely understand, is, you know, just when you think the weather might turn and you get a few days of calm weather where the pumping can start to take the water off the levels, more weather systems come in and top up the levels and make it bad, or even, as has happened in recent days, worse. So that is the point. You just have to keep going. We have to prepare people for a long haul because it's going to take some time. But in terms of the government's response, COBRA was stood up straight after Christmas from those floods, and I think we've held something like 28 meetings. But as I say, there are always lessons to learn, always more to be done. I might just say one more thing about the involvement of the military, because I want to just make sure everyone understands how this works. I mean, the military are always available in an emergency. The liaison officer is in touch with the Gold Commander, And obviously the military have been involved at various points in terms of these recent floods. They were actually involved on the East Coast before Christmas, helping with flood defences there. As I said, they've been involved in Somerset for some time, and they've been involved in the last few days. But the things that I'm making clear and changing, as it were, first of all, making clear that we have available, you know, thousands of soldiers and Marines and commandos and the like who are able to help. Secondly, proactively calling the affected local authorities so they feel empowered to ask rather than to hold back. My message to them is don't think twice. If you need help, don't think twice. The military are there to help. And thirdly, setting out a new community support role that our military can carry out rather than just flood defences. Again, they've always been able to carry out this role, but I think it's quite good to make specific that there is a community support role. And as I said, Major General Patrick Saunders will be leading this military effort. Question here.
Nigel Morris from The Independent. What is your best estimate of how quickly life can return to normal in the worst affected communities?
Well, I'm afraid the news isn't very good on that front. And if we take the Dawlish rail link, which, you know, is so vital because it is a vital artery into the southwest, into the peninsula of our country, that is, you know, Network Rail say it looks like 6 weeks of work. I wanted to check today that they were working as you know, hard as they could in terms of timings, and they're only standing down for 3 hours either side of the highest tide. So they are effectively working 18 hours a day, and they've got a fully worked up plan. So that is looks like 6 weeks, which is a depressingly long period of time if you're a user of that train service, and it's going to affect businesses in the West Country. So it's very important we do everything we can to support them. On the Somerset levels, it is this equation of how much rainfall is going to fall, how much pumping capacity we have in place, and how much water currently sits on the levels. And, you know, the figures are, you know, pretty depressing, I'm afraid, because there's, as I've said, over 65 million tons of water. We're pumping something like 3 million a day. Even with this new pumping strategy, which could lead to quite a significant increase, but less than doubling, it's still going to take a lot of time to get that water level to go down. And that's if, you know, we don't have even more rain. So you've got to take those calculations together. What the Environment Agency will tell you is part of the problem is that the saturation of the ground, particularly across the south of the country, is so great that any additional rainfall can cause groundwater flooding. And also, it just takes an awfully long time for these for the water to abate. So it is going to take time. We have to prepare for the long haul. But those are the two particular timings I can give you. Gary.
Get the Channel 4 News. Isn't the truth that you're having to say now money's no object for a relief effort because you didn't prioritise flood prevention enough before? You found a sizable amount of money in your back pocket now, but you should have been looking for more money earlier.
Well, I don't accept that because we're spending $2.4 billion on flood defences in this four-year period, which is more than the $2.2 billion spent in the last period. And we have, as I said, topped up that money when we've seen the events in Somerset and the extra work that can be done. And as I said, I think as we examine the consequences of these floods, we'll probably find more bits of infrastructure that need to be protected, more flood defence schemes that could work. And under our system, we don't just have the government money, we have the partnership funding as well, so local authorities are able to come forward with their own funding and own ideas. And I think we'll see a lot of extra money leveraged into flood defence work in that way. Jim
Pickard, Financial Times. You talked a lot about helping business. Commendably, you struck a deal with the insurance industry recently to provide universal cover for flooded areas after 2015. But I believe business is excluded. It's only for households. Is it time to reconsider that?
Well, I think we need to work with the insurance industry to cover these points. One of the reasons why I've announced today that there will be these business assistance schemes and farm assistance schemes is to make sure that we don't leave gaps out there. I think that the problem, there is a gap at the moment for farmers who've been affected by floods year after year, who can't get insurance, who see their livelihoods, you know, seeping away from them, literally, because they can't get their crops to grow or their animals have had to be moved. And that's why you need, a grant system in place there to help bridge the gap. But very happy to look at the point that you make about insurance for businesses. We need to make this insurance market work, which is why we've been working so hard with them over the domestic insurance policies. Tom.
Prime Minister, could you perhaps just clarify precisely what the apology that you're sharing with Eric Pickles is for and to? And might it perhaps be regret over not dispatching the army earlier as your perhaps one regret over this, since it seemed to take a newspaper front page for you to do that? And just a quick one, since you're kind enough to come before us today, may you commit to doing this a little bit more often?
First of all, look, I mean, what I thought Eric was right to say was to be extremely sorry about what has happened and the fact that so many households have been affected and that we need to take every step we can to help. In terms of the army dispatch, I mean, I think I've answered that question. The army are always there and always available to Gold and to Silver Command. They were used on the East Coast. They were used in Somerset. They're being used now. What I've tried to do is clarify and make it even easier for the civil authorities to ask for military assistance. But it's not quite as you suggest, that it requires a sort of trigger from Downing Street. The processes and procedures are there, but I've just tried to make it even easier for them to call on them. And I think we'll see, therefore, more military deployment. But it would be a mistake to think that there wasn't military deployment before, because there was, as I said, even as far back as before Christmas. I think what matters is making sure that this can be done in a coordinated way. You know, there were issues in Somerset with you know, the arrival of the military at one stage where the county council weren't exactly sure about how to use them. So we need to try and join this up and make sure we'll do what we can from the centre to make the military available, as I said, in numbers, and then work with the local authorities so that they're able to put them to good work, because that I think is the right approach. Press conferences, yes. I have press conferences. I answer questions from the press every day, either around the country or sometimes even around the world, and you're always at liberty to come and follow me and ask me a question. And it's very good to have a press conference like this on such an important subject. Chappers.
James Chapman from the Daily Mail. Prime Minister, you've said money's no object. What do you say to the three-quarters of people who say in a poll today that you should look at the foreign aid budget and divert a portion of that towards the response to this crisis?
What I'd say is that we don't have to make that choice. We are a wealthy country with a growing economy, with public finances that are increasingly coming under control, and we will spend whatever it takes to recover from this and to make sure we have a resilient country for the future. And we don't have to make a choice about raiding the aid budget or spending the correct money here at home. We will spend the correct money here at home, be in no doubt about it, and we'll do that without interfering with our aid budget, on which we made a very clear promise. Let's have... Yes, a gentleman here in the blue tie, sorry.
Michael Settle from the Herald. As I didn't get a chance last week to ask you a question, I'd like to ask you a question about your speech on Scotland, if I may. If the currency union between an independent Scotland and the rest of the UK is so bad, as your Chancellor and Scottish Secretary repeatedly say, what's your reason for not ruling one out?
Well, the Chancellor will be discussing this later in the week. What I've said so far is that I think it would be very difficult to justify a currency union post-independence. But you know, I think it's important we set out these arguments in a very clear and rational way. It's a very important issue for people in Scotland to understand that this is arguments we're going to make on the basis of economic evidence and advice, not on any a priori views. But the Chancellor will have more to say about this later. Last question, in honour of not always being able to ask questions at press conferences, will be from Bloomberg.
Thank you, Prime Minister. Rob Hutton from Bloomberg. When you were in opposition, you said that climate change was one of the greatest threats facing mankind. And then when you came into government, you went a bit quiet on it. And you were even reported as having told your staff to get rid of the green crap. Was that your view? Do you regret going quiet on it? And do you think that some in your party might be more willing to talk about climate change now that their constituencies are underwater?
Well, my view has not changed. I think climate change is a serious threat, and I'm proud to lead a government that is addressing it, a government which, when you look at its own carbon emissions, has cut them by well over 10%, a promise that we made, a promise that we delivered, a government that set up the world's first green investment bank, which now has its headquarters in Edinburgh and has a multi-billion pound budget, a government that's seen a big increase in renewable energy established in our country and very clear rules for that green energy, first government to introduce proper incentives for renewable heat. So I think we have a very strong and clear green record. What I was saying earlier about floods, I'm going to answer this question in the House of Commons, and the answer I gave, I think, was backed by the scientists who advise the government and advise the country. The point I'm simply trying to make today, in a spirit of bringing the country together, is whatever you think about this issue, there are different views in the country about this issue, whatever your view, it's quite clear that we are experiencing, and have experienced over recent years, some very tough weather challenges. You know, I'll never forget the impact of the 2007 floods on my own constituency. You know, the sight of the Somerset levels as you see them today, covered in water for week after week. The problems people have seen with these very severe coastal storms. I met a family in Cornwall who told me that the water was coming down their chimney because the wave was so high. When you consider all of these things, you see the devastation of that railway line in Dawlish. When you see, you know, the real problems now in the Thames Valley with this huge amount of flooding that has taken place, you know, we face challenges of extreme weather. We face challenges of making our country, our households and our villages and towns more resilient. And we've got to meet all of those challenges. And whether you think this is linked to climate change or whether you don't think it's linked to climate change, we should all unite in a great national effort to deal with these problems and to address them head on and make our country more resilient, because whatever our views, that is clearly in the interests of everyone in our country. Thank you very much indeed for coming.